I stopped at the post office and got the mail. My sister, Maisie, announces as she marches into my shop and drops a stack of envelopes and catalogs on my table. Thanks. I reach for the envelopes first and thumb through them. Lots of bills here. Always, she says with a smirk. Who knew that being a business owner would be so expensive? I stare at her for a moment and then bust out laughing. We did. Oh, yeah. She sniffs at some pink hydrangea blooms, fussing over them. Maisie and I are less than a year apart, so we've always been close. Opening businesses at the same time and supporting each other through that process just seemed natural. An off-white envelope catches my eye, and I pull it out from the rest, immediately opening it. Holy shit, I mutter. What? Hold on. I skim the letter and then shake my head. No, absolutely not. What the hell? Maisie demands. So I read the letter aloud. Dear Miss Henderson, I've recently inherited the building your business resides in. I intend to sell the building. This is your 60-day notice to vacate. I'll be in Cunningham Falls next week to meet with you in person, should it be necessary. Respectfully, Brody Chabot. Shit. Maisie whispers and drags her fingers down her face. I guess that means I can't rent the space next door now. Maisie makes delicious wedding cakes, and her business has skyrocketed in the past year. She's been baking out of her house, and we host tastings here in my shop. When the space next door became vacant, she was hoping to move her bakery in there. We both were. This isn't going to happen. I insist and fold the letter, place it back in its envelope, and move on to the next thing. With all due respect, how in the hell do you propose to stop it? It's not like we can afford to buy the building. In downtown Cunningham Falls, this would go for several $1 million. I'm going to talk him out of it. She stares at me, then shakes her head and lets out a laugh. Okay, I gotta hear this. How exactly do you intend to do that? I know that you and Brody were close when we were kids, but you haven't seen him in more than 10 years. Are you going to hypnotize him or something? No, I'm going to have a calm, adult conversation with him. This is business, big sister. She reaches over to smack a kiss on my cheek. For purely selfish reasons, I hope you make it happen. I'm sick of baking at my house. I don't have enough counter space. But Brody got out of here as soon as he could, and I suspect that this building isn't something he wants to keep. Well, he's going to, I reply, sounding way more confident than I feel. Businesses, especially new businesses, don't do well when they have to relocate. We're doing so great, Maisie. And with you next door, well, there's so much more we could do. I don't disagree with you, she says. This is an ideal location, and we are doing great. I'd like to be a fly on the wall when you talk to Brody. He was hot back in the day. I don't respond, but my stomach does a little flop. He was so hot, and so freaking nice. And then one day he stopped walking me to school. No explanation, nothing. He just wasn't my friend anymore. I've wondered for years what I did wrong. Brody was someone that I truly cared about and enjoyed spending time with. And to say that I had a crush on him is the understatement of the year. He was hot, kind, and smiled at me unlike anyone else ever has, before or since. I hope there's a piece of that boy still in there, and that when I talk to him, I can make him see reason. Because I'm not moving Brooks Blooms out of this building. Stop pacing, Maisie says the following week. I'm walking back and forth through the flower shop, biting my thumbnail and stressing the hell out.
Why is she acting like this?
Micah, my teenage afternoon help, asks Maisie. Micah is 17 and comes in after school to process deliveries, trim stems, and clean up. He's tall and lanky, with dark hair that falls into his eyes, sometimes a bit clumsy. And we adore him. She's seeing a guy she hasn't seen in a long time.
Like, on a date?
No, I turn.